Mr. O'Brien, good morning to you.
The first allegation of prosecutorial misconduct, allegations that the prosecutor approached a potential witness, Kayla Cash, when Ms. Cash was had been approached by myself, trial counsel for Mr. Hairston, to testify on behalf of Mr. Hairston, and admonished her that if she did testify for Mr. Hairston, she could be prosecuted for perjury. Or were alleging that this...
Was that a truthful statement?
Pardon me?
Was that a truthful statement?
By...
the prosecutor?
That she... I don't know. But I don't have any reason to think it wouldn't be. She could be prosecuted.
Well, that depends on what she said. Not, she hasn't lied yet. So, it's just a warning to tell the truth, isn't it?
It's at least that. But, Mr. Hairston is alleging that this...
when did this occur?
This occurred, according to, based on the record, which is by affidavit, I didn't state exactly what it was. Originally, Kayla Cash was listed as a witness for the state. Then she wasn't called. After she wasn't called, state, I intended to call her. At some point, at this time, while she was outside the courtroom, approached by Mr. Wells, he reported that to me.
During the course of the trial.
During the course of the trial.
That time frame. And what was believed to be the admonition or quote misconduct by the prosecutor?
Simply what I stated, that if you should be aware that if you testify on behalf of defendant Mr. Hairston, you could be prosecuted for perjury.
If you simply testify?
This is where the evidence is not as strong as it could be, but my affidavit state what Mrs. Cash told me prior to her.
Did the prosecutor say anything about if she lied?
That's not something I can report. I can only report what she said.
Was she represented by counsel at that time?
She was.
Was her counsel present?
When I spoke to her?
When the prosecutor spoke to her?
Not that I know. I don't know the answer.
Does that make a difference?
I think it would make a difference. I think if her attorney wasn't present, that would favor interpretation of that as coercion. These are all things that were not developed, that could only be developed full evidence.
Counselor, even if that was correct, doesn't the passage by the what would this say? If that is correct.
It's not.
So how would we know either?
The record does not. The record. Nothing in the record in the affidavit itself, number 5, that just briefly describes what she put, had indicated would have testified. Recorded law enforcement interview on August 15, 2015, Ms. Cash stated that shooting, driving back from the former store, picked up Dominic Kerstin and she was walking back on about 30th Street, this property, that's not fine. That's all that's from the prejudice. And then going on then.
Now, he testified to that. Is that correct?
Pardon me?
I was walking along and Ms. Cash gave me a ride. So that to which she would have testified is nevertheless in the record by somebody.
Correct. The other basis that Mr. Epstein alleges, or alleged in the motion for a new trial, was that it was juror misconduct. Two of the jurors' conversation with the trial counsel for co-defendant Mr. Walker indicated that prior to Exhibit 79, which is the video recording, a surveillance camera across the street on the north side of Q Street where this shooting had taken place. The shooting involved two cars, one passing by another going the same way down Q Street. Bullets fired from one car at another. And the video shows, this is in the record, Exhibit 79, shows, gives a glimpse where you can see the windows on the passenger side of the car from which the shots were fired. The two jurors indicated, Mr. McGowell, that they had looked at the whole, all the jurors had looked at this video. This is a crucial material issue in the case. Looked at it, and then they also found on this laptop that went back with them to the jury room that there was a some kind of software on there that would allow them to view a mirror image.
Wasn't the software that allowed them to do that the very software that allowed them to play the video? It was actually the software that allowed the video to be seen on the laptop. Isn't that right?
I believe it.
So it wasn't that they didn't go out and get different software?
No. I believe they used the software that they were using to view it had a feature that allowed them to do a mirror image.
The video that we're talking about was a digital file, which is simply zeros and ones. And what they did didn't change the video file in any respect, did it?
I don't believe so.
So they were simply using the technology to look at what the video depicted from a different angle, using the same technology that they used to look at it from the original one.
Well, I would dispute that the evidence was for the image shown in court several times. And in a sense, they were encoded in the ones and zeros. But I saw as counsel, the judge saw, and the jury saw in court was a video, not a mere image of it. And that went back to the jury room in the jury.
Suppose you have a piece of physical evidence, for example, a gun, and it's displayed in court. Here's the gun. But the chamber's never opened.
during the course of the trial. The gun goes back into the jury room and someone opens the chamber. How is that did and looks inside, even though they didn't do that during the course of the original presentation of evidence? You're not contending that would be jury misconduct, are you?
No.
So how is, go ahead. How is this different from that?
Well, that's different is that in that case, you're examining something. I mean, the ordinary means of examining objects in the jury room that one would expect jurors to use was picking it up, moving it around. And in the case that both the state and Mr. Hairston cited to analogize your image type case to magnified.
Would the mirror image be admissible if offered during the trial?
I don't know what the judge would have said. I mean, we could have objected. Defense may have objected to the misleading.
Counsel, what is the mirror image shown on it? So we argue.
I wouldn't, if that was the case, but I imagine that the other side would be.
I appreciate your honesty.
I think that's a crucial, I think that's a stronger base for a new trial, mirror image.
And it prejudiced you in what fashion?
Prejudice comes from the fact that the jurors, now this has to be evaluated not in terms of actual prejudice, but in terms of there's a reasonable possibility that would have swayed an average juror. We're not, because we can't go into the province of the jurors' minds and look at what they said and how it affected them. But what they did say, in fact, they saw, first they didn't see anything, then after seeing it from the first mirror image, they could see an arm coming out of the back seat, and they could see a person sitting in the front seat. For the co-defendants, his basic argument was that I was in the car, but I didn't shoot a gun. Mr. Harrison's defense was, I was never there. It wasn't me. Somebody was there, but it wasn't me. So it goes to, and that's the whole case. And they, again, maybe the court can't use it as evidence directly. They said it affected them. That's how an average juror would be affected. But I think the way to resolve that is to allow the trial court to develop the evidence, look at it. I mean, no one's really looked at, I don't think this court can look at, the mirror image video. That's not the evidence. It has to be, we have to allow the trial court to look at the evidence to determine whether an average juror would have been apt to have been weighed by this.
So wasn't the recording itself marked and offered in evidence?
Yes.
And it wasn't changed in the viewing process?
Well, I think if the evidence is the ones and zeros, then that's always changed. I mean, it's always used to produce something else. Normally, presume it's going to be used to produce video of the normal kind that they saw in court. It was used to produce something different. So it was analogous more to these experiments. Reports have said is extraneous.
If it were played more slowly, what would be your argument?
I believe courts have found that I think that was in one of the cases in California.
They did a zoom in.
They zoomed it. They might have also slowed it too.
And the court said that's not a problem.
Correct. But I would say that's analogous to picking something up and looking at it, moving around. The way that mirror image is not something, not a way you ordinarily would examine it. It's not something anyone expected to do. Based on what the juror said, it affected affected what they saw.
Is the record clear as to which exhibit was examined in this fashion?
I believe it is.
Is it 79 or 80?
I believe it's 79.
And is that the full-length version?
I don't remember.
Is this right? There's one that's a little shorter.
Right, one that's
a highlight reel.
Right, one, and they're both played
several
times.
Highlight digital file. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ralph, good morning to you.
May it please the court, my name is Austin Ralph. I represent the state of Nebraska. Overarching issue case is whether the district court properly denied Harrison's motion for trial without an evidentiary hearing. As relevant here, Harrison alleged in his motion, one, that the jury committed misconduct by laptop that was provided to them to view, quote-unquote, mirror images of certain video exhibits trial, and two, that the prosecutor committed misconduct by admonishing a defense witness, Kayla Cash, that if she testified in defense of Harrison, she could be prosecuted for perjury.
Did she have an accessory charge pending at the time?
Yes, I believe it was accessory to a felony. She was implicated in the incident as well. I presume by her own attorney told her not to testify and to take the fifth, as opposed to any sort of admonition or alleged coercion by the prosecutor.
Is prosecution free to threaten witnesses that if they testify they'll be charged with perjury or could be charged with perjury?
Well,
that's assuming that the witness lied. But did he say if you lie, you can be charged with perjury? Or did he say if you testify, you could be charged with perjury?
Well, based on the preliminary hearing and the prosecutor offered sort of clarification of what happened, he said basically, I do this for every lay witness that I meet. And basically, I tell him, get on the stand and lie and I can prove it.
Well, that's the reason for thinking. Did you say that to this person?
Well, that's what he said at trial, but that's what the conversation was with Ms. Cash. I would note, too, that at this preliminary hearing, apparently Kayla Cash was present as well, so I guess I think that everybody would be on the up and up on that. But
You mentioned that she didn't testify on advice of counsel.
Yes, that's what she said. There was an in-chambers hearing during the trial. I forget exactly what page of the Bill of Exceptions, but she basically said, you know, I'm taking the fifth on advice of my attorney. And I think that was also included in the affidavit of Mr. O'Brien, either that or the motion for new trial itself, that, let me get here. Yes, transcript page 100 in his affidavit, he said that he was represented by Attorney William Marion, and in telephone conversations he had in the past week, he told me that he was advising Ms. Cash not to speak with the client, not to sign any affidavit regarding what Mr. Wilson had said to her. And again, I think during the in-camera hearing, there was also an injury.
So that was the reason. If that was the reason the witness didn't testify, it wasn't that the prosecutor threatened her with charge of perjury.
That's how I read it. I think the prosecutor made that argument. So in our view, as I set forth in a brief number of cases, occurrence from one of this court's cases, 1981 State v. Ammons, that basically advising of the consequences of possible perjury to a witness.
If you lie.
Yeah, does not constitute coercion or intimidation or infringe upon the defendant. Right to basically present his defense and call his witness.
I think opposing counsel is saying that there should have been more of a hearing on this, perhaps at that time, or in connection with the new trial motion.
Yes, that's certainly his wanted an evidentiary hearing at least, or a new trial at the most. But as I said, I don't think based on the allegations or what's in the record that further evidentiary hearing was warranted, because basically, even assuming the truth of the allegations of misconduct, in our view, and that being the case, no further evidentiary hearing was warranted.
But the conversation about I won't testify on advice of counsel. That was in in chambers rather than.
I think it was.
I beg your pardon.
Well, I'm sorry. And it's been a while since I read the Bill of Exceptions. But I believe during the trial itself, they had an on-the-record in-camera hearing because Mr. O'Brien wanted to possibly call Ayla Cash, and she said that she was pleading the Fifth both with respect to Mr. Wofford and Mr. Hairston, and she would not be testifying on the advice of counsel. As far as the mirror image concern, I agree with Justice Castle. Basically, that it's not changing the file. It's not producing new evidence. In our view, it's simply looking at it from a different perspective. So it's, you know, analogous to rotating a picture, or if you have a VHS tape, you're playing it on.
What is a mirror image? It's just a...
Well,
is it the equivalent of holding up a mirror to the... video as it's being played and then watching the mirror?
I think so.
Show another side of
it. No, it doesn't show anything. It's just anything different. It's just a different perspective. So I watched it just using a VLC media player mirror image, and I didn't see anything. I'm not sure why the jury, you know, apparently found so much...
If the video image displays the left part of the person in the video, the mirror image isn't going to display the right part of the person.
No, it's just sort of coming from a different direction.
Let's try it this way. The information is fixed.
Yes.
All the data's fixed.
Yes, it's all the same.
Thank you.
It's just a different viewpoint. And that's why I don't see it as any sort of misconduct, any sort of extraneous prejudicial information.
Now, suppose we have a juror who works for the NSA and pulls out their flash drive that has some software that,
right.
that the public doesn't get to use, the court didn't see, and somehow can deeply analyze.
A whole different ballgame when you're using something that is not the court-provided device. And here it was just a simple laptop. They knew it could play the video because they knew that's how it had been played in trial using the software. They just didn't know that the software itself could rotate the image.
Well, and what everybody's just calling this video. It's a file.
Well, right. Yeah, it's a media file. I believe it was Exhibit 79 was the shortened version. Exhibit 80 was
the other way around.
Well, Exhibit 80 was the police had done I believe, four times magnification and slowed it as well of a particular portion of that video. Those were the two video files, I think, that were an issue the jury made. Yeah. So,
is there a better way, a better procedure for courts to follow than simply giving this back to the jury and letting them
I guess to me it doesn't seem like a problem because the software is just letting the jury make a more critical examination, something that
would it have been better to re-show that particular exhibit in the courtroom while everybody
they certainly could have done that you know if I guess, but once you get back there and the jury's in the midst of their deliberations, maybe it doesn't make sense to have to keep coming back to the courtroom to let them see it repeatedly and stop and pause it and whatnot. But
the way this evolved, according to the record, is this correct? They asked for
television.
Old school.
Right, right.
Just let us play this. Give us something to watch it on.
Right.
And then prosecutor supplied... Right? Is that right?
Yes, he brought
a laptop or something that has this software abilities in it.
Yeah, my recollection of the record is that he brought the laptop that he had used to play it at trial,
mm-hmm.
Because he didn't have a television. He brought the laptop. The trial court judge was in some hearing. He came out, said, "Hey, I'm thinking about giving him this laptop." The parties were able to. At least see the laptop in it, so it's running on it, so people can get there, but
Are you aware of any mirror images, mirror image cases?
No, I didn't find any. The closest one I found was, frankly, the one that opposing counsel put in his brief. People would be watching, talking about zooming in and slowing down video file. Very similar situation with the laptop. Was provided with the party's knowledge. Well, it was forced, but nobody knew that the software on it could do that. And they basically said, that it wasn't an improper experimentation. It wasn't creating any new evidence. It was just a more critical examination of the file. Unless there are any further questions, we ask this court to affirm the judgment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. That concludes arguments.